There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial. In the second part of the show, this is podcast number 466, October 21st, 2010. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by the 2011 Motorsports Memories Calendar Americana. Now on sale and available on the F1 Weekly website. Get one, you know, you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Korean GP ticket sales are dismal. Tilk convinced low grip will be a great shoe. Bernie says Spa and Silverstone are now at risk. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid and a great and outstanding interview with the man himself, the rallying guru, Carlos Sainz. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Not too bad. And I want to remind our listeners, we will have a Grand Preview on this program by Desiree for the Korean Grand Prix and Circuit.
Ooh.
Exciting stuff, Steve. So there you have it. And let's just go right to Korea. There's some issues here, Steve.
Huh. Really?
Yes. Apparently now... It is basically admitted to that this thing, the tarmac is so fresh that, yes, grip will be a big problem. There's also saying that there could be a wave of rain similar to Suzuka.
Ooh, that should be interesting, especially with fresh tarmac. That will make the track very interesting. Talk about it's going to be sub-low grip is what it'll be. Hey, let's go skating.
Yes, so...
Maybe they should, you know, contact the WRC and see if they can get some studded tires.
Yes, studded tires could be an option.
Could be helpful, that's for sure.
And, of course, South Korea being the world's fifth largest car-producing country, and no major automotive group has been willing to back this whole party... with Formula One coming to Korea is causing some problems.
It's probably because it's only their competitors that are racing in it.
And a lot of people in the surrounding area are not happy with how this whole thing is being handled. Apparently, let me see if I can quote Lee Phil-soon. Quote says, his restaurant, he believes there has been no full government support because the race is being held in this region. If it were held in another region, such as Busan, the situation would have been different. Now, of course, I don't know what's happening politically in these regions in South Korea, but a lot of people are complaining, and a lot of people are saying, look at the track, construction is still underway with only days to go before the race. And the ticket sales are brutally low. Not sure what's going to go on, just like they did, I think, in China, they might just give out tickets for free.
Or Malaysia, where, you know, hey, come on, bring a dollar and you're in.
Yeah, just to fill up the stands. Or they'll just congregate people in groups and the camera shots will be focused
only of the groups.
On those specific groups so we don't see empty seats. On the other hand, I could be completely wrong. The pundits
do we really care if the seats are empty? Are we here to watch a race?
Yes, I don't care. But still, I think the organizers and everybody wants to look good.
Bernie doesn't care. He just wants his cash.
But what's I mean, if the usually the inaugural Grand Prix are sellouts. and it's a fairly well-attended party.
Right, and if somebody had been doing their homework, there would be literally thousands of Europeans, Americans, South Americans, and other Asians in Korea for this race.
Yeah, it should
filling
be
the stands. You wouldn't have to rely on locals to fill them up. It doesn't, you know, hey, Japan's like a 15-minute flight from Korea. You should have, somebody should have been at Suzuka handing out flyers for cheap flights and hotels.
Bernie should have been at Suzuka handing out flyers. Well, it's going to be very interesting, especially since we only have three races to go. This is going to be a significant race to see who is going to be on top of this podium. It's going to be very significant. Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, will the McLarens, you know, pull up their bootstraps and get on this podium? This is going to be very interesting.
I did find it interesting that I think it was Renault saying that they were showing up with the same wing package that they had for Suzuka. Because the slow parts of this track are so technical that you need that kind of downforce.
I believe it. But then they have the 1.2 kilometer straight.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, well, we better fire up the F-deck.
And some teams are bringing F-ducks and some teams are not bringing F-ducks.
I think with that long a straight, you've got to. Otherwise, you're going to be dogging it. Because the two best passing opportunities are at the end of the two longest straights.
I agree, and we'll see what happens, but I'm sure the top five teams will be F-ducking.
We'll be the top five guys on the grid. Unless Felipe can get his act together and get himself up there.
Well, Felipe, he took a week off, went to Brazil, chilled out a little bit.
Yeah, now he's going to be jet-lagged, though.
And he says that his aims this weekend, he says we need to qualify well on Saturday, and after that, in the race, I want to be in the middle of the battle for the Drivers' Championship. He wants to help Fernando win the World's Drivers' Championship.
In other words, Felipe's going to try to take out Mark Webber.
Felipe is going to be taking out some people. And we'll see what happens, but Felipe is on board.
Well, we knew Felipe was on board after Germany.
Exactly. He pulled over. And that was a beautiful thing.
No, he missed a gear. Come on.
I understand. But still, Felipe Massa is on board. He's going to help the Scuderia get maximum points for everything. Because really, points are money.
Ultimately, yes.
So this is very important. And he needs to pull through to earn his money.
Well, he needs to have a much better finish this week than he's had in the last couple races. Because he's been a little bit abysmal.
He has been abysmal. So we'll see what happens there. But it's going to be interesting. If there's rain on this track, this could be a free-for-all.
If there's rain on this track, Felipe's not going to finish the race.
Well, a lot of people may not finish the race.
Yeah. Fresh tarmac and water do not mix.
No, so it's going to be very interesting. Let's move on to Renault. Of course, the Kimi Raikkonen stuff is over. There were other drivers in the hunt for this Vitaly Petrov seat. And I laugh at everybody because Vitaly Petrov's seat is done and paid for.
Yeah.
Talent is secondary. At this stage of the game, when you need money, money comes first or the team doesn't exist. So, you know, it's not, you know, it's the horse before the cart situation.
Exactly. You can't have a good car if you don't have good funds.
Yeah, so Petrov is definitely in. He'll be there next year. And that's pretty much final. And it's funny. I love this. Eric Boullier comes out and says, I want to reassure all the fans, Vitaly will remain in F1 next year and the year after that. No, excuse me, that is Vitaly's manager speaking to probably Russian television.
Well, him in F1 does not necessarily mean him in Renault.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Renault is not going to say no to the vodka, the Lada car company, and others that are coming on board. And now that Bernie has signed a contract, and Putin himself has come out saying, we will have a Formula One Grand Prix in 2014. He's locked in.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, and let's see where Shanduk shows up. Because Bernie wants him to be in a seat for the Indian Grand Prix.
Well, is he going to pony up some of his Buco bucks to put him in a seat?
I'm not sure what's going to go happen. The whole thing is bewildering. But the way it's going to be, unless you're a big major team and you have,
unless you're Ferrari, when you can go and buy your talent and
exactly.
Not have to worry about sponsorship.
Exactly. And it's going to be the same, as I said in previous podcasts, for Nico Hulkenberg. Maldonado will be in. Hulkenberg will be out. Because money is the name of the game, and Frank Williams knows that. Williams is not the big team they used to be.
Yeah, and where's Willie Weber? You know, shouldn't he be finding big money for Nico?
He's trying, but these economic times, Stephen, this isn't the 90s anymore.
Shouldn't Weber be finding him some big money?
Perhaps, but we'll see what happens. Just that's just the way it is. So, you know, I feel sorry for Nico Hulkenberg, but unless you outperform your teammate, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. If he had been outperforming Rubens Barrichello all season, then he would be in. But he hasn't been, therefore his seat's for sale.
Pretty much, and they need the money. The team needs the money for development, for in future series, for future seasons. You know, the car of next year is always being developed pretty quickly.
Yep.
So, we'll see what happens. This is Pastor Maldonado's big chance. He's got some good money, and we'll see if he's got talent. And obviously, he's been in GP2 way too long. He needs to get this F1 seat, and he needs to get it in 2011.
And he needs to run with this opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. Alan Jones will be the steward for the Korean Grand Prix, and of course, he'll be joining somebody else. Who was the other steward that was picked for Korea? I thought there was somebody else. It's Alan Jones and somebody else.
No, I only saw Alan's name mentioned.
Well, we'll find out. We'll talk to Nasser Hamid in the Motorsports Mundial segue. Perhaps you'll have some information on that. But that's exciting. Alan Jones, 1980 Formula One world champion. And, of course, he's driven in other formulas. Lots of fun. Jacques Villeneuve is out now saying that his fantasy is Australia's V8 supercar series. This guy just jumps all over the place.
Well, I did see that the V8 supercars were going to be on television here in the States.
That's good.
At midnight, Bathurst.
Bathurst 1000?
Yeah.
That's exciting. And, of course, a lot of ex-Formula One drivers have done that race. And, of course, Jacques Villeneuve wants to do it full-time. He doesn't want to go over there part-time. He wants to be part of the whole scene. So I'm surprised Jacques Villeneuve, I don't know, you'd think he'd be happy with that beautiful...
You think he would have been happy getting into NASCAR?
Well, you know, I don't know, but some people just can't, you know, the bug is still there, and he's got to be in the limelight, he's got to do something.
I'm really surprised he didn't try to get into DTM a little bit more deeply.
I was surprised, too, and good news with DTM. They're going to be working with Grand-Am, the American series, using DTM rules. I think that's going to be fascinating. That means we're going to have some DTM races here, which makes a lot of sense because Audi, now BMW, has announced that BMW is committed to, they're going into DTM. The three big German car companies, their biggest market is the United States of America.
Yeah.
DTM should be doing races here, East Coast and West Coast. So we'll see what happens there, and there's plenty of racetracks. So I'm pumped up. That's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Oh, it's going to be great. So anyway, Steve, any predictions for Korea? Just go out on a limb.
Let me see. Mark Webber on pole.
Really? You think?
We're going to put Sebastian back in the grid.
I don't know. This track is going to be super slick. You can't make any mistakes. I'm going all the way. No. Fernando, I think Ferrari's going to be okay. And Massa, maybe he could take out a few cars at the start of the race. But I'm gunning for Kubica. This time his wheels aren't going to fall off. He's going to have a great race, and I think he's going to be on the front row.
And maybe his teammate can help him out a little bit.
Vitaly, he doesn't have to.
Maybe Vitaly needs
When you have that much money, you could just...
Well, Vitaly needs to finish in the points, because otherwise any time he doesn't finish, he makes Bouye look like an idiot.
No, he needs to qualify in Q3 right behind his teammate.
Exactly.
That's what he needs to do. And if that happens, he'll be fine. Anyway, we have a big show. We have the Grand Prix view of Korea by Desiree. We have an interview with Carlos Sainz. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this message from CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com.
Attention music lovers, there's a website that will take you back to the music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Check out CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com and relive some favorites. Every day, a new album is posted for your musical pleasure. There's everything from current hits to some off-the-wall titles. You'll find artists ranging from the Sex Pistols to Tom Waits. Something for everybody. So come visit CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com. That's CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the man himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards from around the world. Three in a row for Di Resta in Germany, four in a row for Stoner in Australia, and five in a row for Bernie in Russia. The globalization of Formula One is complete with the Gagarin Grand Prix, coming soon to Sochi in southern Russia. Are you excited, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, so I'm just thrilled to death.
Me too.
Yeah, one day I figured if it can go to Russia, maybe we'll have a Grand Prix in France. Imagine that.
Yeah, can you believe that? Yeah. Maybe that's why they are striking.
That's what it is.
Vivant Formule 1. Exactly. Bernie flew in his private Sputnik to confirm the deal with Tavarish Vladimir Putin, and reports are saying that going back to the days of Leonid Brezhnev, I believe, or some other Russian leader, they were still trying to get the race even then.
No, I believe that.
So, a breakthrough. The siege of Leningrad has been broken. Or should I say the siege of Sochi?
Thank you.
The Iron Curtain has been lifted.
Yeah. The Russian Grand Prix has been in the sports pages of Pravda for some time now. Initially, there was talk of building a track on Nagatino Island near Moscow. Sochi makes sense, as the city will be hosting Winter Olympics and will have modern hotels and facilities by the time the circuit is built. And of course, Tilke is involved as always. Comrade Petrov is hanging on to his Renault seat like the Siege of Leningrad, which we just discussed, while the 2010 World Series by Renault champion Mikhail Elishin hopes to launch his own Operation Barbarossa to break through the F1 barriers. And we wish them all the best. I like the clause in this deal that the race can be delayed by a year in case building of the track comes in the way of the Winter Olympics.
Absolutely.
So that's called, you know, don't be sorry, just, you know, have good lawyers. I'm sure they have good lawyers in Russia too. So now we go to some motorsports action. Hockenheimring, Germania. Three in a row for Scottish driver Paul Di Resta and his Mercedes, and he now leads the DTM Championship. And talking of DTM Championship, I'm also very excited about this series coming here in conjunction with NASCAR.
Grand Am.
Yeah, what they're going to do, they're going to run this as a separate series, not in conjunction. I mean, not the cars will be at a different race, not running as a class of the Grand Am series, which
Correct.
Is very good.
But I heard they might even be in the Cup series. There's a lot of stuff being thrown around, which is all good.
Yeah, all good. Cup series, maybe they'll race at Sears Point and Watkins Glen. I'll be very surprised if these cars are on ovals. And this is very, very good because what they're trying to do is they're trying to work with the Japanese organizers also of the Japan GT series, where they can have similar rules, which is a very good idea, especially in this day and age. So what will happen now when you have a premier race here in America, whatever it may be, Road America or Long Beach, you know, you can have 3-4 cars from Japan, 3-4 cars from Germany. This is all going in the right direction. Very good. Going back to the DTM race at Hockenheim Ring, Timo Scheider was second for Audi, Ralf Schumacher and DC both failed to finish, so they are doing in DTM what they were doing in F1.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and they are very good friends, by the way.
I'm sure they probably, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, they spent a lot of time hanging out in the pit lane during the race because their cars have been unable to finish.
Yeah, with two races to go, Di Resta has a 3-point lead over fellow Mercedes driver Bruno Spengler, a quick Quebecois living in Strasbourg, Francia. And some of us will remember Bob Wallach of sports car fame. He was also from Strasbourg. And you remember him, right?
Yeah,
Bob Wallach, sports car. You know how he was killed?
No, I don't.
He was at Sebring and went on his bike, and he was hit by a truck or something and died of the injuries. Pretty sad, but you know, these things happen.
So that's, you know, just like General Patton's death.
Exactly. BMW is coming back to the DTM series in 2012 after an absence of 18 years, and there is talk that Opel may also return, which GM is trying very hard to unload right now, which will be very good for the series. Also in Hockenheim, F3 Euro Series, they go in tandem, you know, yes, promoted by the same people, ITR. More of the same, as Eduardo Mortara of Italy won the opening race of the weekend in the rain over Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia and local boy and ex-Willy Weber client Marco Wittmann. And if anybody, Marco Wittmann is a nice kid, and he was very nice to me last time I saw him in July. He was asking me if I could come to more of DTM races. And he is, if anybody has ever seen him or met him, he is the poster child of a German driver, just like Michael Schumacher. I wouldn't say the same thing for Sebastian Vettel because, you know, he jokes around, he smiles. But Marco Wittmann, the first time I interviewed him was like 2008 Barcelona, and he's sitting like upright, like he's in a German army training camp, you know. But he finished second in the championship, which is good for him. And Sunday's season finale saw a maiden win for Spanish driver Daniel Juncadea, who has raced here also in Formula BMW. Wittmann finished 8th, which was enough to give him 2nd in the championship, which was pretty impressive. You know, he finished ahead of Valtteri Bottas, who is a Formula 1 test driver for Williams. But Mortara was the man of the series. He also won the Macau Grand Prix last year in a very, very impressive fashion. He hunted down Jean-Charles Vernet when it looked like Vernet was going to win. And hopefully we will see him in GP2 next season. You know, I don't want to be mean and rain on somebody's parade. But, you know, Eduardo Mortara, some years ago he raced in F3 Euro Series when Nico Hülkenberg was there. And at one time I remember Mortara had quite a decent lead in the championship. But once Nico got his program in line, it was just like, hasta la vista, baby, or ciao, ciao. But, you know, sometimes things just don't work out for drivers. Sometimes they gel very well. And when you win, we say congratulations. Any comments, sir?
No, not
no. No comment from the peanut gallery?
No, the peanut gallery is nice and calm.
Wow, that's a first.
Well, you know, I'm all excited about Korea.
Oh, me too.
And those grandstands filled up with beautiful people.
Oh, absolutely. I've already ordered my second batch of kimchi.
Me too.
Yeah, lovely.
Mine's buried in the backyard right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, authenticity.
Ooh. Wow. Is it below the 37th parallel?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Okay, now we take Qantas Long Reach to Phillip Island, Australia. This was very good, beautiful track, I must say. And lovely people there, too. Total domination by local ace Casey Stoner on his Ducati. Victory number 4 in a row on the island. New MotoGP champion Jorge Lorenzo sailed peacefully to second place finish. I saw some of this race on the web. It was very exciting. But behind them was major harem scarum between Nicky Hayden on the second Ducati and the second Yamaha of the Doctor. And talking of Doctor, I think Steve needs to see one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve's mute button is in order here.
Okay. So the Doctor was given a taste of his own medicine by Hayden, who passed him with 2 laps to go. But, and this is where it got exciting, as Jorge Lorenzo found out in Barcelona last year and Motegi this year, the Doctor can strike back at the last moment, which he did with Hayden, and took the final podium spot. Very impressive and good dice between. You know, it always takes 2 to tango. So I appreciate and thank both the combatants for giving us a great show. But like I said, great racing by both riders. And, of course, you know, when you have these riders or the Dijon Prenois thing, you can enjoy these things. But, you know, if you have Paul Tracy or Montoya or Sato in a battle, it becomes 2 to tangle, which is about to happen any time. I remember many years ago, I don't know if it was Long Beach, Paul Tracy had like a huge, huge lead in the race, street race. And he runs into the back of a guy who was like 20 miles slower than him. I just could not believe him. But that's Paul Tracy. Okay, now this is very important. Now back to race winner Casey Stoner. I heard on the race broadcast that he met his lovely wife, Miss Adriana, at Phillip Island when he was racing in junior formula, I believe the 250cc, and she asked him for his autograph on her tummy. Ooh. And you know what happens when you put Sharpie to soft skin? It's instant Neil Diamond moment. Rest is history. He went kneeling and got her a diamond. So romantic, Australian Outback style. What say you?
That's just so beautiful. I
see it here.
I'm misting up a little bit.
Yeah, I see. I'll get you a Kleenex. And you know, talking about romance, this website called pitpass.com, the editor, Chris Balfe, I believe is the name. I was reading some years ago that he loves Monza so much that that's where he got married.
At Monza?
Yeah, at the Autodromo.
That's beautiful. On the,
it is beautiful. So I was thinking, you know, when you have your seven-year hitch, the seven-year itch, what you do is you go from Monza, Parabolica, whatever your favorite spot was, to bus stop at the old spa to drop off the lady.
That's beautiful.
Goodbye, Miss Holly Golightly.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir. Okay, if we are talking romance, we have to talk about your favorite series in Charlotte, North Carolina, which would be?
Lunesca.
Yes, sir. Jamie McMurray was the big winner over Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. Monty was 11th, Scott Speed 19th, and your favorite Greg Biffle was 5th. Every time I don't mention his name, you always ask. So now we're in the chase to the chase, so we have to mention this. This was very sad news. You know, death at Fontana last Friday. 24-year-old Ashley Phelan was killed while driving an open-wheel car at Fontana Speedway. She was taking part in the Mario Andretti Experience. The car overturned after hitting the wall at high speed. Very sad and tragic on what was to be a fun day at the track. And, you know, these are cars can go up to like 200 miles per hour, 600 horsepower. You have to be very careful. And I remember some years ago when the Champ car was, you know, in the glory days, I had gone down to the Fontana race oval track and built by Mr. Penske, and now owned by the same people who own NASCAR, France family. Anyway, there was some sort of an exhibition race or some cars were being, like you have taken a ride, you know, at Laguna Seca, and there was this white Acura NSX, and that thing, it hit the wall very hard, and they had to bring the jaws of life and all that to get the driver out. So very sad there. Okay, in other news, preseason testing is taking place at the new Aragon track in Spain, and many new faces in new places. Some of them may do these series, some of them will go somewhere else. World Series by Renault saw Alexander Rossi post very quick times. He was fastest on one of the days, which is very good, and the other days he was also very competitive. Other drivers doing well here were Adrian Quaife Hobbs of England, Mirko Bortolotti of Italy, and Brendan Hartley of New Zealand. And I think if Hartley, Rossi, and your homeboy Jean-Éric Vernier, who won the British F3 Championship, I think the battle royale will be between these three people if they're all in the World Series by Renault. GP3 testing also going on this week. Fastest driver in testing on Wednesday was Antonio Felix da Costa of Portugal. He is testing with MW Arden, where the MW means Mark Webber and Arden means Christian Horner, as in the Red Bull team. Alexander Sims from UK was second, and third place man from this year's championship, Nico Müller, was third. Formula BMW Europe champion Robin Friens of Holland was 13th, and Connor Daly of Indiana, USA, was 14th. Eddie Cheever, also from somewhere in the U.S., probably he's living still in Italy. This is the junior son of Eddie Cheever. He's also testing the waters of GP3, and this year he has been racing in Formula Abarth, which is a 1.6-liter turbo car in the Italian championship. And I have a feeling that GP3 this year may be even more talent-loaded than... next year might be more talent-loaded than it was this year. It was pretty tough this year. You know, Wickens, Morad, Rossi, Gutierrez, Nico Müller really surprised a lot of people. and we have more and more people coming in. So it will be very interesting. And talking of Nico Müller, he's 18 years old, and he's going to stay for second year, which I think is a good idea, in the series with Swiss team Genzer Motor Sports. And Genzer is a pretty well-known name in junior Formula. Okay, from this year's crop, though this is subject to confirmation, looks like Esteban Gutierrez, who won the GP3 championship, is headed to GP2. Alexander Rossi to World Series by Renault, and I'm waiting to hear on the plans of Daniel Morath and Robert Wickens, both from Toronto, both very quick. And like I said, these are subject to official press releases from these gentlemen and their PR people and their managers and, you know, cronies or whatever you want to call. But these are all fine drivers, and I'm really looking forward to the next season.
Yeah, 2011 is going to be exciting.
Yeah, exciting in a lot of fronts.
Absolutely. Quickly, before we go to break, your thoughts on Korea, any predictions, as I asked Steve?
Well, you know, I hope the track doesn't break up. What I do not want to see is, because they're expressing some concern, so I hope the race goes through peacefully, quietly, and, of course, safely. And, you know, just based on how things have gone all season long, one has to believe that Red Bull will be very strong, and if Sebastian Vettel wins again, then there'll be some concern for my mate Mark Webber. But if he can pull a fast one on Vettel, which he has quite a few times this year, that'll be great. And Nando is there, he's not gonna give up. And Luham, if he can keep, if the car is competitive and he doesn't go out on lap one, then he will be a factor, as he always is. And I don't know how, I'm sure it rains there a lot, but, you know, between this race and, there won't be any rain in Abu Dhabi, that's for sure.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, positive. Maybe a dust sandstorm. Remember once they were testing in Bahrain, and there was so much dust storm that they had to cancel the testing?
Yeah, it was clogging up the filters.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, this is the last time, or maybe Sao Paulo. A rainy night in Brazil can ruin somebody's day.
No, it's going to be an exciting race, and I'm looking forward to it. I think the track will be okay.
Let's just hope Timo Glock doesn't get in between two titled contenders in the last race.
And don't forget Felipe Massa. You know, he said he's going to help Fernando, el hombre muy macho.
Yeah, he will help by not being faster than him.
Well, that's inevitable.
Which has not been an issue most of the year. It's interesting, you know, Nando won the very first race, and now he has how many wins? Four wins? You know, let's just say three wins on track, but Massa's no wins. But, you know, one was taken away. One cannot forget that.
Yeah, but not only that, but let's not forget that when Fernando went to Ferrari, everybody went to Fernando, and Felipe Massa was left all by own. Yes. Just him and Rob Smedley.
Yeah.
That's it.
They love each other.
They do love each other, and I'm happy for them. They make a terrific couple.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, that's the way this thing goes, and it's one of those things, you know. I mean, I was looking at some old racing photographs the other day, and there was a picture of, this is in the younger days of Ronnie Peters and Jackie X. And, you know, you, in terms of pure racing talent, in terms of pure raw speed, Peterson was like Kimi Raikkonen. Both of them, unfortunately, did not win world championships. So, and, we'll see. And, you know, if I may, I just want to let all our listeners know who ordered calendars. They are in the mail, airmail. So when you get them, let us know what you think.
Exactly.
Please.
Some input.
Exactly.
Some critique.
We prefer positive feedback, but yes, we have thick skin for slings and arrows.
Absolutely. Nas, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. After the break, we're going to come back with an interview with Carlos Sainz and, of course, Desiree's Grand Preview. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. Nas, welcome back to the studio. Now, we've got a great interview here. Introduce this great rally driver.
Yeah, this is one of the rallying legends, Carlos Sainz from Spain. And, of course, my interest in rallying predates my interest in Formula One. But, of course, he was in the 80s. great name and a very nice character. He is a thorough gentleman. You know, I ran into him. He was talking to some people, and he says, why don't we do it at 2 o'clock? So when I ran into him at 2 o'clock, he took me to the BMW hospitality because his son was racing in that series. And the next thing you know, he's talking to Mario Tyson before our interview, so I got a chance to do a little chit-chat with Dr. Tyson also. And he remembered me coming to his office a couple of years ago. So that was nice. Carlos Sainz, of course, big name, World Rally Champion, and I was very happy, genuinely, last year when he won the Dakar Rally. And I always like when people make comment like he did that Spain has now finally won Dakar. So that was very good. And I think he's going to be in the event this year also. And his son is showing a lot of talent in the Formula BMW. He was rookie champion. So great to see the great name, very successful name, continue in the same fashion. And my thanks to him. And I would like to say that this interview took place in Barcelona in May. So, you know, this was before the World Cup, and we talked about that also. And it's good Spain won, you know, so it's very nice. So my thanks to Señor Carlos Sainz, and also my thanks to F1 Weekly. Especially Clark Rogers, the host with the most.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Barcelona with two-time World Rally Champion and one of the legends of the sport, Señor Carlos Sainz. Sir, first of all, thank you so much for your time. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Everything is okay, so we will see what is going on this weekend, long weekend.
Okay, you are not racing today, but your son is. How come he's pursuing a career in single-seater racing and not following the path of Papa?
Well, he was doing a lot of karting, and then obviously the way out from karting is obviously the more in single-seater. So he likes driving formulas. He's enjoying his first year. He's very young. He's just 15, but I think he likes more circuit than rallying. What can you do? Support him.
Mom and dad fully behind his efforts?
Pardon?
Mom and dad fully supporting him?
Yeah, you have to try to support him, and I think the only thing we can do is just try to support him, yeah, and help him in a good way.
How involved are you in guiding his career at this moment, or does he have a manager already?
No, well, obviously he's very young and looking a little bit what is going on, but you need to find a good balance for that.
Okay. And when it comes to your own motorsports career, what was your introduction to motorsports? Did you have any racing heroes when you were growing up? Was your dad involved in motorsports?
Not really. My brother-in-law and my brother was doing some rallies, but I think when I was 12, 13 years old, I was really very interested in motorsport and really following some rallies. And it's a nice sport, rallies, and I enjoy it since the beginning. And I have the chance to be many years in doing rallying, and it is motorsport part of my life.
Now, before you became a professional rally driver yourself, who, in your opinion, was the best rally driver?
Well, at that time, Walter Roll, Stig Blomqvist, Marco Allen, all those drivers, they were very, very good drivers, and I really enjoy following them.
You won the Spanish Rally Championship in a Ford Sierra in 87-88, and 1987 was also your first year in World Rally Championship. Was the level or depth of competition outside Spain a surprise for you?
Was?
The level of competition once you started rallying in outside your Spain, did you find it to be extremely tough, or it was easy for you?
You know, the level in World Rally Championship, it's always high, because at the end of the day, it is the top people there, but I really enjoyed my first World Rally Championship. I really have a good time in Portugal, and I was able to make a best time in my first ever special stage. And I have good memories from the beginning, and obviously it is a process where you have to go step by step.
What was the main reason for leaving Ford and joining Toyota Team Europe?
Repeat.
Main reason for leaving Ford and joining Toyota?
Well, Toyota, I have a very good opinion at that time is the team was coming very strong in World Rally Championship, and Ford has no four-wheel drive. So after the San Remo Rally, I have an offer from Ove Anderson to drive the Toyota Celica, and I must thank a lot to Ove because he helped me a lot in my career. And after that, after 2 years, in the next following year, I was winning already my first World Rally Championship. Yeah.
You know, I had a chance to meet Mr. Anderson in California some years ago, and he spoke very highly of you. Can you talk a little bit about your time with him and him as a person?
Well, as a person, for sure, we are talking about one of the nicest, quiet guys I have ever met. For me, it was nearly as a father, and he helped me a lot in all my career. He trusts me, he supports me, and really have good time together. I grow myself in World Rally Championship together with him, and really have a very nice time.
1990, you became World Rally Champion with victories in Greece, New Zealand, Finland, and England. Which was the toughest and most memorable win for you?
Oh, I think always the first win is very special in Greece for me. I always have a good memory for that first win, but also my first victory in Finland, it was very special because I was the first non-Scandinavian to win there, and I really have quite a good memories from the very beginning. Also some accidents, but really good fun.
Okay. How important is the role of co-driver in rallying?
Well, a co-driver in rallying is very important because you need to be a good friends and working together very well. The pace notes are very important. They have to read it in the correct time at the correct speed. So really it's a hard job for them, even in rally rates more, because a co-driver can make you lose or win if he make a mistake.
In 1991, you won the same number of rallies as Juha Kankkunen, who took the championship. Please tell us the high points of the season, and also tell our listeners what happened in Australia.
91, we won a lot of rallies, but we were very unlucky at the end of the year. We have, in the last three rallies, three mechanical failure, and also through the middle of the season, we have quite a hard accident, but that was not the main. The main problem was the last three rallies where we had three consecutive mechanical problems, and that didn't allow us to win the rally. Okay. The World Championship.
In 1992, you were back on top, winning both in your country and my favorite event, Safari Rally. How tough is the Safari Rally, both on the driver and the car, compared to Acropolis or 1000 Lakes in Finland?
Yeah, I think it was Safari is a different philosophy, a little bit more endurance, but at that time we were pushing very hard, and I think Safari Rally has its own character, and it was a good victory in 92, but I think I remember the rally very long, very very tough, good fight with Recalde, with the Lancia. We have some problems with the turbo, and we were losing some time, so it was not an easy victory.
For 1993, you left a major manufacturer to join private Jolly Club Lancia team. What led to this decision? Why go to a private team?
Well, it was more or less to be also loyal with my big sponsor Repsol, that they really helped me a lot in my career. So Toyota signed a contract with Castrol, and we couldn't race together, Castrol and Repsol, obviously, and at the end I decided to go to Lancia Jolly Club with Repsol, but that was a big mistake.
Why was that?
No, because we didn't have the support of Lancia. They promised us to have good support, good level, and you know, it was not the case.
Okay, so you drove for a British team, Italian team, and a Japanese team based in Europe. How much did you enjoy working with different cultural environment, and which one was more fun?
Yeah, it was good teams everywhere. You know, it was one of the best. I have been working for the best team in rallying, and I really met very good engineers, very good people, and each time I have a really good time, you know, except, okay, the year of Lancia was difficult, but after, I don't know, I have very good time in Ford, very good time for sure in Toyota with Ove Anderson, that was great, and later on in Citroën it was a very good team also, very professional, different way of working, the French people, but I really have a good time.
Is the French team more fun?
No, the French was really a professional team and working everybody together. No, it was good.
And how was the experience with David Richards and his Pro Drive operation?
Well, at that time it wasn't easy. It was coming Colin, and the team was supporting a lot Colin McRae, and I have sometimes some difficulties with him and with David, but we are good friends, and now it's in the history.
Okay. And your victory in Dakar Rally this year, how special is this for you compared to all the rallies and championship you have won? I know you made a statement that Spain has finally won Dakar, so it must mean a lot to you.
It was. I think good that the Spanish driver win the Dakar, and I was the driver, so I was very happy for the team, first of all, for myself, for my friends, for my country, and it was a good effort, and I'm really happy to win the Dakar finally after what's happened the previous year.
You competed and won against some of the best drivers in the world. Among the drivers you competed against, who would you, if you were a team owner in the time you were rallying, who would be your two drivers?
Now or
at that time?
Depends, you know. I have been very long period, so I have been teammate with Cancun, and I have been teammate with Colin McRae many years, with Sebastian Loeb. I have been teammate with Didier Auriol. You know, all those drivers, they were very, very fast and very good, and I really have a good time and a lot of respect for them.
Are you friends with the gentleman we call Muy Macho Hombre de España, Fernando Alonso?
Well, Fernando is a good friend, and he has done a lot for Formula One, for motorsport, and I think it was very good that Spain finally a Spanish driver won the World Rally Champion, the Formula One Championship two times. Oh, it's really good, and I think he's a great driver.
Third time is not too far away. You would love to see him here Sunday.
I hope he has a good time, and he's doing a good job this weekend, because I think he has a good chance to win the championship. I hope his car is working fine, and I hope he can win in front of all the fans.
Okay, last question. I understand you're a big Real Madrid fan, so who do you think will win the World Cup in South Africa?
Spain has a good chance, because Spain has a strong team. We won the European Championship, and I have quite a lot of faith in the young Spanish team, and I think they can do very well, and hopefully they can fight for the victory there.
If they make it to finals, will you be in South Africa?
I think I will try to come, yeah.
That's good. Gracias, muchacha. Great honor to meet you, sir. Thank you.
Carlos, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now, let's go to Desiree's Grand Preview.
Annyeonghaseyo, listeners. This is Desiree with your F1 Weekly Korean Grand Preview. Well, barely in time for the kimchi to ferment, Formula One's governing body, the Fédération Internationale Automobile, FIA, gave the newly built Korean International Circuit a green light for the October 24th inaugural Korean Grand Prix. FIA race director Charlie Whiting described the 3.489-mile, or 5.615-kilometer, Yeongam circuit as satisfactory, and the mandatory license would be issued through the Korea Automobile Racing Association. Hence, the inaugural Korean Grand Prix will now be the 17th race in the 2010 calendar. It will be held at the Korean International Circuit, a motorsport circuit located in Mokpo in Yeongam County in South Jeolla Province. This province is about 400 kilometers or 248 miles south of the capital city of Seoul. This will be the venue for the Formula One Korean Grand Prix due to a $264 million or 250 billion Korean won deal between Bernie Ecclestone and the Korean F1 promoter, the Korea Auto Valley Operation. Your host country is the Republic of Korea, the ROK, as is officially known. Also, it's called South Korea. If you're a local, you'd call your country Hanguk. The population in South Korea There's about 50 million people there, mostly of Korean ethnicity, apart from about 20,000 Chinese persons. The official language is Korean or Hanguk, and the Koreans themselves call their people the Hanguk Saram. The currency is the South Korean won, the KRW. And some famous South Korean companies that are worldwide known, you have LG, Samsung, and Hyundai. In recent years, South Korea has come from nowhere to become the third biggest economy in Asia. Korea is known for its worldwide involvement with cars, such as Hyundai and Daewoo. And the Korean people have previously hosted the Olympics and the FIFA World Cup. This republic has a capital city of Seoul and is administratively divided by 7 metropolitan cities and 9 provinces. The province where the Grand Prix will take place is in South Jeolla Province in Yeongham County. Now, as I mentioned, Korea is about 400 kilometers away from the track, but closer to the track is Gwangju, which is the 6th largest city in Korea. Even closer than that, and the city where the circuit is actually located, is only 7 kilometers from Mokpo. Now, Mokpo is a major port town with a modest international airport, the Muan International Airport. And to know, Mokpo has frequent train service to Seoul, and it is the terminus for a number of ferry routes serving the islands that are in the adjacent Yellow Sea, or the Koreans call it the West Sea. Mokpo's climate is highlighted by a short spring and autumn. We'll have the race taking place here in autumn, and it is usually foggy in the autumn due to its locality near the ocean. For the F1 travelers, within a 60-kilometer radius from the circuit, there are several towns closer than Gwangju, and the accommodations they're going to be, you'll be looking for the Korean-style hotels called Yeongwan, or they're also called motels. Easy enough. And so you'll be looking for a red circle symbol with 3 wavy vertical lines coming off the top. That's how you know you're looking for at a motel. And they may not live to the 3-star standards of the Western people, but they'll put you closer to the track. And if all else fails, they always have these 24-hour saunas. Popular among the local people, these public spas are the cheapest alternative to the hotel or Yeongwan prices. For your transportation, Gwangju has buses running to Mokpo every 20 minutes from 6 a.m. to midnight. If you're staying in Seoul, there are 9 daily flights going to Gwangju and 1 to Mokpo. If you're going to take a train, it's a 3.5-hour commute. And on top of a long day at the track, you're looking at a long, long day. And last but not least, Buddhist temples around Mokpo are offering temple stays with shuttle buses to the track. This is probably the most peaceful way to see Korea during your F1 holiday, as the Korean temples are undoubtedly placed in scenic mountain locations. Travel tip! For a travel tip, take the Mokpo ferry to the Jeju Island. And when you're after the race, it is one of Korea's finest tourist destinations. Now, as far as local cuisine, expect to eat kimchi. This is a side dish of fermented vegetables, usually cabbage, with red pepper powder, and is rich in vitamins, minerals, and proteins that are created by the lactic acid fermentation of the cabbage. You also might be wanting to eat some galbi gui, which is the broiled short ribs, yummy, or the bulgogi, which is the barbecued beef, and their street foods known as mandu dumplings. Now, etiquette tip, make sure to use your spoon for soups and chopsticks for the rest of your food, and do not mix the usage of your utensils. Now for drink, try the local alcoholic beverages such as soju. That's the most popular. Other common drinks include the magaliolo and the dongdongju. Be aware that traditional behavior codes dictate you must bow whenever someone tries to pour you a drink and when the person is finished pouring. This shows your sincerity. Now, how did this Grand Prix come about? Well, it obviously began with Bernie Ecclestone's Napoleonic plan for world domination of non-European countries. Actually, it was announced in September 2 of 2009 that funding was in place to start construction of the circuit site, and the aim was to have the work completed in time to hold the Grand Prix in 2010. Then, in December of 2009, The organizers of the event announced that they were on schedule with a plan to finish the circuit on July 5th, 2010. Well, we all know that that didn't happen. Now, the Ecclestone deal is for 7 years, with a 5-year option after that, which could take the race until the year 2021. The 2010 Grand Prix tickets have been sale within South Korea since the 31st of March this year, and worldwide they've been on sale since mid-April. The circuit is also set to mark the return of the Korean Super Prix. This is a Formula 3 event previously held in Changwon City Raceway, and the last time they raced the Super Prix was in the year 2003. Now for Korean motorsport history. Previously, the International Formula 3 Korea Super Prix was a Formula 3 race that ran annually on the streets of Changwon between the years 1999 and 2003. It was enjoyed a brief success as a sister flyaway event to complement the season-ending Macau Grand Prix. It was replaced in the year 2004 by the brand new, at that point, Bahrain Super Prix, at that point, Bahrain International Circuit. To note, in the first year, in the 1999 winner, was Briton Darren Manning, and runner-up was old Jenson Button. The last year of this event was 2003. Lewis Hamilton had gained pole position, but the win went to American Richard Antonucci. Also in motorsports there, for over two decades, Koreans have been tearing up the tarmac in the CJ Super Race with the 1600cc to 6000cc engines. Now the Korean International Circuit, the KIC, is placed in Yeongham County, and the reason they picked this area, it's a rural area, so they chose it to accommodate the extensive plans that go beyond the bounds of the track. A German designer, Hermann Tilke, of course, was given the responsibility for the layout of the track, design, and the utilization of available space. Though recently he has been quoted as saying, "I am working on the project only in an advisory capacity," he told this to Germany's Bild newspaper. The KIC is comprised of two courses, a 5.615-kilometer international race circuit, like for F1, which incorporates a partial street circuit, and a 3.045-kilometer permanent track that will be used for other forms of motorsport. So similar to the Valencia Street Circuit and Albert Park in Melbourne, Korea is aiming to combine a temporary and permanent components to create the Korean International Circuit. They will be featuring a 1.2-kilometer straight, which is going to be the longest in Asia, in which the Formula One cars will be streaking to the harborside, the waterfront of Yeongham County, and spectators can take in the action from boats, the promenade, hotels, and surrounding buildings. It is said that they're actually going to use part of the city, perhaps some of the facilities there, the shops and restaurants and cafes, may be utilized as part of the pit lane during the Grand Prix weekend. Hermann Tilke incorporated traditional Korean architectural elements, such as the roof of the main grandstand, which resembles the eaves of the traditional Korean hanok houses. When completed, the Korean International Circuit, the KIC, is slated to have 130,000 spectator capacity. It's going to have modern pit and paddock structures. The drivers will complete 55 laps for the Grand Prix on Sunday, and will be going in a mostly anti-clockwise direction. Now for the track itself, there has been speculation that the track could prove hazardous. The final layer of asphalt was only laid in the last week or two, even though FIA regulations stipulate that F1 tracks should be approved at least 90 days before a Grand Prix, in order to allow a bedding in period before the Formula One circus arrives. With the top layer of asphalt having gone down less than a couple weeks ago, there have been fears that the track has not had enough time to cure and could be slippery or even break up. Now, Nick Heidfeld with Sauber has said, "From a driver's perspective, the most important thing is that the tarmac lasts. If the final layer is laid a short time before it is generally understood, it can be oily, which is extremely problematic. But he can only give information about the quality and the layout of the track once he's driven there." Mercedes-Benz driver Nico Rosberg has added that it looks great from the pictures that he has seen, and he just hopes the asphalt holds up and it has only been put down very recently. Now, the only driver to actually have driven on a portion of the KIC has been Karain Chanduk, formerly of Hispania Racing. And here are his impressions of the track. He said it does have three long straights, which will help McLaren, but from turn four, it is basically just left-handers all the way home. And it gets a bit more fiddly, slow-speed second gear stuff there, the camber changes, which will play more into Red Bull's hands. He says Fernando Alonso could hustle it up and get close to them, and he fancies that Renault's Robert Kubica could do well in Korea because he's a real street fighter, and that kind of track will suit him. What could be interesting, Karain says, through the start, is that Red Bull may lock out the front row, and he says that could make it interesting. And something he says that Mark Webber was thinking about, because he has asked Karain what the circuit was like. He goes on to say that the grip levels will be lower because it's going to take time for the track to get oil to the surface. And here's what Hirohide Hamashina, the motorsport director of Bridgestone, says: that this Grand Prix presents everyone in Formula One with an interesting challenge, as the circuit has only been recently completed. So they have no data to look for, and they only have to rely on the simulation data. He says from this information, the maximum and average speeds will be 350 kilometers per hour to 205 kilometers per hour, or 193 miles per hour to 127 miles per hour. This places the track between Catalunya and Istanbul, and close to Sepang in terms of speed, which is an important factor in determining the allocation of the hard and soft tires. He said that Korea should be a good test of all their technology, and he expects all team engineers to be working very hard over the weekend trying to best understand the setups and the tire strategies. It will be the first motor racing event at the facility, and he expects to see a lot of track surface evolution over the weekend. He said it'll also be interesting to see how the teams and the individual drivers adapt to this track, particularly those in the hunt for the championship battle. Next week, Korean's Grand Prix will also be the 300th Formula One race for Mercedes-Benz since the company first competed in 1954. From the Mercedes-Benz team principal, Ross Braun has these words to say:
"We're very pleased to be viewers visiting Korea next week and looking forward to the experience of racing in a new country for Formula One.
It is important for the future of our sport that we continue to expand our global fan base. Therefore, we are very pleased that the venue will be ready in time after some uncertainty. We've been preparing for the new Korean circuit back at the factory with a work on the simulator so that we have a good idea of what to expect. But as always with a new track, it'll be an interesting challenge." Jenson Button with McLaren has to say, It's always exciting visiting a new circuit for the first time. He says the Korean track certainly looks very interesting, a real mix of different characteristics. There appear to be a couple of very likely opportunities for overtaking, particularly at the end of the three main straights, but possibly also offline in the twisty final sector. He said the track looks quite high speed and the walls are close, so it'll be an interesting challenge. Lewis Hamilton says, also with McLaren, he says, "I've driven the Korean International Circuit on the simulator, and my first impressions were extremely positive. On paper, the track should suit our car very well. The first sector is all about good end-of-straight speeds and strong performance under heavy braking, both key characteristics of our car. And the middle sector is fast and flowing. It's the kind of pace where you want a car with good balance and good downforce. I think it'll reward commitment. It actually feels like quite a nice driver's track. The end of the lap is slower and tighter, but it's still all about rhythm and flow. So as long as the track surface is nice and grippy, I think we're set for an enjoyable first race in Korea." Now for you male F1 fans, I have a little section about the grid girls. So they say that when it comes to the Korean grid girls, they have carefully vetted the Far East ladies to bring a sort of elegance to the track. Their presence is a blend of Asian mystique and simplicity with a whole lot of confidence. They're going to be bringing top models to the debut, and even some motor model legends like Park Young-kyung and some other race fan favorites. So they're saying all in all, it's a clear case of the Korean Grand Prix girls taking on and schooling the reigning paddock girls of Singapore. Oh, okay, it's an Asian grid girl throwdown. The K caliber is so high that they're firing on all cylinders. When race day comes, finally, to the new Yongham circuit, the race fans are going to have one eye on the track and the other at the grid start. Sounds like fun. So in closing, I want to say Songhang Hayo and Annyeong. Goodbye, listeners.
Let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
Woohoo! Forum updates week. This week, thank you, Chemix. It's been a while since we've had a forum update, but hopefully we should be back on our regular updates from now on. If you haven't checked out the forum before now, it is a perfect time. There is a lot of recent activity with the run-up to the end of the season, and any of the new opinions are always welcome. We would especially like to see some more ladies on the forum for a change. Desiree made a welcome return to the forum over the weekend. It was also her birthday over the weekend, so happy birthday, Desiree. In a recent poll, forum members said they would most like to see Mark Webber take this year's title, with Jensen Button second favorite. However, Frank Douglasson does not understand why everybody wants Webber to win, just because he won't get another chance. What's your opinion? Come and join the debate. You know you want to. Other recent topics include Porsche eyeing F1 return. Bernie hasn't ever done anything for money. That must be easier to say when you are worth $3 billion. Horner says he won't interfere in the title race. Massa says he won't be like Rubens. In the predictions competition, Koala has had a bad week in Suzuka round and slipped from first to third. But with only 9 points covering the top three, there is all to play for. Make sure you have your updated picks to Yay this week for Korea, assuming it takes place. That's the forums. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, the forum has been active and will be pretty active right after qualifying and the race this weekend.
We also broke 800 members on the forum in the past week.
Yep, we are over 800 members, so keep up the good work, everybody. And please, don't just lurk. Please post. Also, I want to remind everybody the 2011 Motorsports Memories Calendar Americana is available. Get them while they're hot, because this is not going to last. We certainly know that we don't print as many as we used to, so you certainly want to get your order in the mail now. We also have still a few F1 Weekly caps. Just send me an email if you want one of those, and we can get those out as well. CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com. Check it out. You know you want to. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California drivers. Check out their 2011 calendar at CameronKarting.com. We want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, simply email me at info@f1weekly.com. Once again, happy birthday to Desiree. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.